The beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, God's Son, happened just as it was written about in the prophecy of Isaiah. Look, I am sending my messenger before you. He will prepare your way. A voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make his path straight. John the Baptist was in the wilderness calling for people to be baptized to show that they were changing their hearts and lives and wanted God to forgive their sins. Everyone in Judea and all the people of Jerusalem went out to the Jordan River and were being baptized by John as they confessed their sins. John wore clothes made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. He announced, "One stronger than I is coming after me. I'm not even worthy to bend over and loosen the strap of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
We began in the first Sunday of Advent with the first sermon in our series, Four Stories and One Baby. And we shared the story of the Gospel of Matthew of the visitation that Joseph had from the angel Gabriel when Jesus was still just a baby in Mary's belly. And yet, God's vision, God's purpose began to come to life in the life of his family. Now the scripture this morning, as we start with the arrival of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark, is a little bit different because we don't start with a baby at all. Instead, we start with a man who, even as stories were told from the prophet Isaiah, would be connected to this child that was to come, unlike any other person in the world. Now John, led sort of an interesting life, and it paints quite a picture in the Gospels. This wild man out in the desert with hair that's not done, who eats wild honey and locusts and wears camel hair and a leather belt. Nowadays, we would call that a hipster. Back then, it's John the Baptist kind of had the run on the organic ministry, I guess, at that point. But as he prepares for his ministry in the desert, he doesn't seem like somebody who would attract a crowd with just his message alone. And Jesus sort of alludes a little bit later on in some of the Gospels that there were those that came out to see the ministry of John, to see him preach, almost more of an entertainment or a show, expecting what would they expect to see from this man. But really, John, just his message alone, began to attract people from all over. In some of the Gospels, it says Pharisees and Sadducees came to be baptized by John. There was something about his message. And so you can imagine that as these people came from these cities and these countrysides from all over, that as they were drawn to the banks of the Jordan River, that when they began to hear his message, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, something inside of them began to change, and they would wade into those waters. And as John would lower them beneath the waves, you almost have a sense of what they would have expected or what they would have felt as all of a sudden they would feel different. Part of something new, forgiven, and washed clean. Now, John was phenomenal at his ministry. It just seemed that people would come from all over, and almost to the point that some would ask John if he, in fact, was the Christ that was to come. Is he the one ushering in this kingdom that they've been talking about and hoping for and praying about? But John was always pretty humble. He was always good at pointing to the one that was still to come, as Isaiah said, the one who would prepare the way. And as they asked him if he was the Christ, he would deny it altogether, even to the point of self-deprecation, of saying that the one who's coming, he's so much stronger than me. I baptize with water. The one who's coming after me, he baptizes with fire. The one who's to come, I'm not even worthy to stoop down and untie the laces on his sandals. Always pointing to the one who is to come. Always pointing to the one who is greater. John himself knew he was no Savior. He was no Messiah. But he was faithful to the role that he had to play in the announcing of the kingdom. And so the people still came and they gathered. And then one day, somebody different came. It says Jesus came to the banks of the Jordan to be baptized by John. And if you turn over to the Gospel of Matthew, John objects to Jesus, and he says, I'm the one who should be baptized by you. But Jesus says this is to fulfill all righteousness. And John and Jesus step into the waters of the Jordan, lowers him beneath the waves, and lifts him back up. And the moment in which he's lifted back up, it's almost as if the heavens break open. The Holy Spirit arrives and descends, it says, like a dove in some of the Gospels. The voice of the Father booms out and says, this is my Son, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. But I'm so interested in that moment when John and Jesus were standing on the banks and John's insisting that this is a terrible idea. Because for his entire ministry, John is so very clear that he is unqualified to be the Messiah, the Savior. And when the Messiah and the Savior comes to him, he's so in over his head to be the one who's asked to baptize him, to tear heaven apart, that the clouds would part and heaven descend. The inadequacy that John must have felt in that moment. But sometimes Jesus asks us to do some difficult things for his kingdom, some things we are absolutely unqualified to do, that we are incapable of doing on our own. And as Jesus waded into those waters, I think the good news that I've often found in that is in John's inadequacy, even though he was unqualified and unwilling at first, he was not alone in those waters. Jesus is almost saying, I know you're not ready. I know you're not qualified. I know you're in over your head on this, but you're not alone in this either. I am there with you. And so the way that I've interpreted this scripture for myself as well is that Jesus walked into John's waters. He walks into our waters. He walks into our lives. He walks into the mess that we stand in each and every day. And most of that is a mess that we are unqualified to handle on our own because we are not clever enough. We don't have enough funds. We're not resourced enough. We're not strong enough to make it through all these messes and all these rivers that we're in by ourselves. We make terrible messiahs and terrible saviors. And yet when the Savior comes, he comes and stands in our waters. And he's the one that wants to be dipped and dunked and washed. Because when he comes up, we realize that it wasn't ever about us ever at all. We're in over our heads all the time. But as Jesus walks into that water in the Jordan River, as Jesus comes into our lives at all, we realize it's not about our unqualification. It's not about the fact that I don't measure up as a dad or as a husband or as a preacher or a soldier, but the fact that I am not alone in this world, that I am not alone in the waters of my life, that there is one who goes with me. And it is He who says that I'm not the one who has to be in over my head. He'll go under the waters for me. And when He comes out, it's almost as if heaven is opened up for us. The good news of John the Baptist is he was not the Messiah, and we are not the Messiah. But we get to go out into the waters of our lives and experience them with the Messiah. And then even more so than that, introduce Him to the world. Because that's John's true message, was to prepare the way. To be that voice crying out into the wilderness. To mark the moment where Jesus' ministry turned from the local to the world. As God Himself showed up in that moment and says, "This is my Son, the one I am well pleased." And John experienced that moment with Jesus, even though he was in over his head. As we go forth in Advent, we go forth as messengers. We go forth as voices that cry out into the wilderness. But we go forth with a Savior whose light is brightening in this world. We go forth with a fire and a light of hope and peace. We go forth with waters of forgiveness and grace and mercy that continue to wash over us. And so even when we feel like we're in over our heads, we are not in that water alone. We have a Savior who goes with us. Will you pray with me? Almighty and precious God, we do give you thanks because we are not alone in this life or this world. Lord, the good news is that you have always showed up to us, whether we're qualified or not. And like John, who just one sermon before talked about how his waters weren't good enough, how he wasn't good enough, you still showed up and asked to be in a relationship with him. You still asked to come and to be dipped into his waters, into his life. And Lord, you emerged and he introduced you to the world like no other. As we go forth, Lord, we ask for your grace. Lord, we ask for your mercy. We ask for your waters of baptism. We ask for the flame and the fire of your Spirit to cleanse us, to wash us, but to make us a light and a messenger, a voice in the darkness, that even in the waters of the Jordan, John saw you. One that came as a baby, but then was all grown. As he lowered you through the waters, Lord, he realized the purpose of his life, a voice and a friend in the wilderness, but one who would not be alone. Allow us that good news. Allow us a part of your kingdom as we pray. Amen.